Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. I'm David Bowes, your host. Discovery Institute Senior Fellow David Klinghoffer set to work to understand why many in the media and politics are abusing the word science by converting it into a verbal bullying tool to force opposition to conform to political agendas. He also examined the similarities in the kinds of ideas that evoke a skeptical response amongst conservatives and Republicans, and whether those similarities tell us something about the true nature of the supposed war on science. I talked with David Klinghoffer about this and his piece on the subject in the American Spectator entitled Republicans and Science. How are secularists trying to turn science into a religion?
Well, I'm not sure that I'd put it that way. It's more like they're using the word science as a synonym for shut up. It's like if you've got little kids and you want them to be quiet, you can, the new thing is you can say, it's science, and that gets them to quiet down. But in the political arena, there are several contentious issues, whether it's evolution or global warming, embryonic stem cell research, that are issues that have a scientific aspect to them, but also have a policy aspect, and they all involve spending money and coercing behavior. And so liberals have found that if you use the word science, you can intimidate people and get them to shut up. And so they use it as a technique of intimidation. But also it's mixed with this technique of the excluded middle. So, you know, in the case of evolution, they try to make out like there are only two options. There's either completely acceding to a materialist Darwinistic worldview or being a naive creationist. There's no middle ground. They try to manipulate people to advance a basically political agenda.
Do they limit the use of this term for only a handful of areas of science, or has it expanded beyond that?
What struck me is that there are four or five scientific flavored issues that keep coming up over and over and over again. It's not like, you know, the question of whether a particle can exceed the speed of light is one of these controversial issues on which Republicans deny science and all that. It's this collection of issues that don't seem to have anything obvious in common: evolution, embryonic stem cell research, global warming, things to do with what you eat and what you drink and what you smoke. What do all those things have in common? And that's what I've spent some time thinking about recently. Sometimes liberals will say, oh, you know, it's all about religious fundamentalism, but where's the religious aspect to the climate change issue? I don't see one. So what I believe it is, what it seems to me, is an attempt to legislate based on a faulty picture of what human beings are. In other words, traditionally in the West, we have the idea that people have a spark of the divine in them, that people are special, and we have an animalistic aspect to us, but we're not ultimately animals. But there's a different worldview that sees people really as just as animals, smart animals, and that's all. And all of these issues that have become controversial all seem to have an aspect of that to them. And I think that's one reason that conservatives resist. It's not that we deny science or that we want to reject the Enlightenment or anything like that. It's that we perceive that there's sort of an anthropology that all these issues have in common, a way of projecting what it means to be a human being that we do resist because it is not true to our own experience of what it's like to be a human being. We're not animals. And evolution is an obvious example of that, because what does Darwinism mean other than to rank human beings without distinction in the animal kingdom? But global warming, too, the whole issue of restricting economic activity and transportation in the same way that we would limit the freedom and liberty of animals. We would make use of animals, medical research. So we're told that we have to also be prepared to make use of human lives for medical research. And we feel free to limit what animals eat. We give animals a very restricted diet. If you're a zookeeper, much of what you do is you decide what the animals will eat and drink. And so people resist being treated that way as animals because we know in our own experience that we're not.
So each one of these areas that get all this political controversy, it's really just another area where people are seeking governmental control in some way over how people think or live.
Yes, I think that's accurate, but in specific ways that, like I say, treat us as animals that need to be taken down a notch. And a point that I've brought out in some writing I've done recently is that at the heart of the ideas that inspired the contemporary conservative movement, one of the insights was, and this is the classic conservative insight, that how people view themselves, our picture of who we are, will influence the way we organize society. So if we have a picture of ourselves that says we're animals, that will produce one kind of society and probably not one that we want to live in. The other picture of ourselves as being touched by God will produce a very different kind of society, but whether you're talking about science or economics or social issues.
Based on what you've researched here, do you expect another tentpole kind of issue to come up? Is there some other area where the same kind of language is going to be used soon? In other words, can this be a predictive measure to see where the next political angle is going to be by framing it in this language of science?
I can't predict a totally new political issue, but I can tell you there are other issues on to which you could apply the same kind of analysis. And economics is a great one. Are people fundamentally animalistic in the sense that we can't create wealth? You know, animals can't create wealth. They can only consume it. And there's a particular view of economics that takes exactly that opinion and sees government's role as basically being one of dividing up wealth as you would divide up the food at a zoo. But another view says, no, on the contrary, just like God can create something out of nothing, human beings, too, can create wealth out of nothing. And that gives you a very different perspective on things like taxes, for example. You don't confiscate people's money because you want them to be able to create that additional wealth in a way that we wouldn't expect an animal to be able to do.
Right now, socially speaking and culturally speaking, it doesn't seem like there's a majority of numbers, but in terms of social pressure, this kind of rhetoric that you're anti-science if you don't believe in a certain way, if you don't conform to this materialist worldview, it has a very powerful social impact. How do people get beyond that? What's the appropriate way to do battle with that?
I think the first step is just to realize that you are being intimidated by the prestige of an idea. You know, William James, the great psychologist, said that people often, typically, make their decisions about what they believe based not on a rational analysis, but based on the prestige of the idea, how it makes you feel about yourself. Once you've sort of opened your eyes to reality, you see it everywhere. It's a fairly unusual person who looks at issues on their merits and not based on how holding a particular opinion makes him feel about himself. But one way to liberate yourself from that kind of slavery to prestige is just to notice that you're doing it, see that you are doing it. And that insight in itself is liberating.
It's very powerful. I saw a story in the Huffington Post about brain science and showing the different shapes of liberal brains versus conservative brains.
Did you
see that as well?
I've seen articles like that, and so that's one of their techniques is to say, oh, you know, conservatives don't believe in science because they're from the backwoods and they're religious fundamentalists and they're stupid, basically trying to intimidate us by making us feel bad about ourselves personally. The other technique is to do, as you just said, to make it seem like it's some sort of an issue of brain chemistry, that there's a faulty neuronal link in your brain that makes you into a conservative. And they can't both be true. And it's suspicious that liberals find all these different various ways to try to explain what's wrong with us. If they had a real insight, they would stick to it, I think, instead of giving a million different explanations for what's wrong with conservatives. Anyway, I think that hurts their credibility.
I was hoping to use it to apply for accommodation as a disability so that they would leave me alone. Then I could just go about my life untouched. David Klinghoffer, thank you so much. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. For more information or to support the Center for Science and Culture, please go to idthefuture.com and click on the yellow donate button. This podcast is copyright 2012 The Discovery Institute. All rights reserved.